Welcome to Rooting For You, a seasonal gardening podcast for non-experts. I'm Tess, and I know nothing.
And I'm Elise, and I know some things.
Each week, we'll chat about one gardening topic, and then discuss the effort-reward payoff by asking, is the juice worth the squeeze? Just a heads up, there might be a bit of swearing in this episode. You've been warned. So now that spring is here, before we all rush out to the nursery and buy our plants for the season, whether that be a seed or a seedling, Elise tells me that she has a fabulous money-saving hack for us as beginner gardeners that is going to perhaps assist us this season with our growing. So Elise, tell us, what is your hack?
So this seed-seedling debate comes up every episode we do when it comes to growing. Do you grow from seed? Do you grow from seedling? And there are advantages and costs of both. But something I do, which in spring particularly, which is why I wanted to do this episode now, that I think beginners might find really helpful is I kind of have like a happy medium between the two. So when we grow from seed, one of the biggest issues is germinating, right? Getting the seeds to actually germinate. This goes back to the heat mat discussion we had a few weeks ago, trying to get the soil temperature warm enough, blah, blah, blah. So that's where it gets hard, right? But when it comes to buying seedlings, if you buy a really advanced seedling, you're going to be paying, you know, $4 or $5 minimum for one plant.
Because they've done the work, so they charge you a little bit extra.
Exactly. So that, when you're planting quite a few things, can really add up. So where I think the happy medium is the earliest, youngest seedlings at the nursery are going to be in like a rectangular punnet. They're going to be about $4 and there's going to be 20, 30 plants in that one punnet. Think about, let's talk about tomatoes, right? They're going to be 30 little hairy toothpick size tomato seedlings. Now, you buy that for $4. If you go home and try and plant those into your garden at that size, good luck, right? They're tiny. They probably only germinated 4 days ago, right? No. But 20 or 30 germinated tomato seeds for $4 is a good deal, because what we can then do is divide up that punnet and plant it into our own punnets, each seedling. And then now we can let those grow big before we plant them out, and we're going to have 30 advanced tomato plants for $4.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot, which is more than you need, but you can gift them, right?
Yeah, yeah. We love that.
Love that. So last year I actually gifted Tess a tomato plant, and maybe I gave myself too much credit here because you probably assumed I grew it from seed.
I assumed you did grow it from seed.
What I did was I bought, again, one tomato punnet from the nursery, and I planted up all those tomato plants, and I had way more than what I could even plant, which is how they got gifted around. So when you buy a seedling, keep the punnet it comes in. Because then what we do is we reuse those punnets to plant out our little shooty uppies.
Let's just talk for a second about why this is a better option than planting. So you buy the smaller seeds for $4 because you're interested in saving a little bit of cash. Let's just talk about the pitfalls of putting those directly in the ground and why that probably isn't a great idea for us.
One, they're not going to have been hardened off. So you're going to have to harden them off yourself, which means they could never grow straight in the ground, for starters. Secondly, at that tiny size, like we're talking toothpick size, any gust of wind, any slug or snail is going to just take out that seedling. So you're not going to get a lot of success. So you might plant all 30 of them. You might only get a couple of them that ever get to a size that give you any food. You know, you can also think about it. It's just such a delicate little thing. You get a decent heavy rainfall and that can be enough to like really knock a seedling around, especially when, because if we direct sow, those seeds have been brought up tough. Whereas when we buy seedlings from the nursery, they've been germinated in a perfectly controlled environment. They're very delicate.
Yes.
They're not, you can't just whack them in a garden bed and think they're going to thrive. But when we get a seedling, say, again, talking about tomatoes, we get a seedling that's, say, 20 centimetres tall, this is a strong brute at this point. Like, it can really handle a massive downfall of rain. It can really handle some wind. Like, it's got, you know, a slug isn't going to be able to smash it to the ground overnight like it can with the little ones. So by container growing that seedling until it's a good size to get in the garden, this means that kind of everything we plant will continue to
be stronger.
It'll be stronger, but it will also become a fruit-giving plant.
Mm.
Whereas if you plant tomatoes that are the size of toothpicks, you're going to have a lot of losses.
Mm.
And I don't know if this is just like how my brain works, but it really shits me when I plant out the garden and then things – like I plant it all out and then random things die and then like my setup isn't complete anymore. like obviously
I think that's always, the perfectionist in you.
Yeah. You're always going to have losses, right, in the garden. Like it's never going to be foolproof. But what we aim to do is just minimize these.
Yeah.
And when I plant a tomato that's 30 centimeters tall that I've grown in a container, when I plant that out in the garden, pretty much never do I lose that plant at that point. Whereas if I was planting out those toothpicks, guaranteed certainty I'm going to lose half of them.
And if you then – so you take them home and you put them into – separate them out and put them into larger containers and you're still – I assume you're still growing in your greenhouse or your warm space. So that will give them an extra boost as well.
Exactly, exactly. So for me, especially being in such a cold area, I can't plant my tomatoes out in the garden now. It's still too cold for me. But I can have them – in my greenhouse, or I can have them on my windowsill and I can have them growing big, so I'm not losing any time because that plant is still growing. It's just not growing in the position we want it. And for crops like zucchinis and tomatoes, where they're going to go hard and fast, but they can only do that in the warm weather, the earlier we get these started, the more growth we can get happening, the more food we're going to harvest. It's as simple as that. So for me, a tomato seedling or something like a chili seedling is another really good example. When we talked about the heat mat episode, I talked about how chilies need an obscenely warm temperature to germinate the seed. So unless you're using a heat mat, that's never going to happen. And like discussed in the heat mat episode, it's a bit of effort, right? Mm. So if I can go to the nursery, get some punnet where someone else has managed the heat mat to get those seeds to pop, and I've now got, you know, 20 chili plants in that, and I can then plant them out into my own little pods, that's just going to save me so much time and effort.
Well, it feels like it's just more of a guarantee than when you're germinating. And we've spoken about before when you're doing growing from seed, of you put a few extra seeds in because you don't get 100% germination rate with all seeds. So now you can – someone's done it. They've taken the hard work out of it.
And that's why you end up with like 30 tomato plants in one punnet, because they've overdone it to guarantee the germination, but they're also germinating in kind of perfect conditions. So they're going to put more in the same way. Sometimes you buy a single seedling and it's sold as like a single tomato, but there's actually two plants in there. Yep. This is because they've put in multiple seeds to kind of guarantee the success. So you can kind of capitalize on that. But those little punnets, if you're thinking you're going to buy them and plant them directly out, to me that's like the worst situation. I just think that's going to go badly. And as much as 30 tomato plants sounds obscene to be growing, and even for someone like me it was obscene and I gifted heaps of them, you will have losses at different stages. So by having those extras, it gives you a backup. So say you plant your zucchini, because we can do this for multiple crops, right? I'm just using tomatoes because they're great. But we can do it with zucchinis. You plant your zucchini out. Mr. Slug comes along one night. You didn't have your coffee grounds or your eggshells put out. He smashes your zucchini. I don't want you being set back, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks now with your growing. If you've got another one in your little greenhouse or in your windowsill, you can just sub him out, plant him in.
Hmm.
So having that backup helps too.
So we've done an episode on planting a seedling before, back in season one. I imagine and you do need to be a little bit delicate with them. I imagine that you need to be even more delicate. Can we just step through how you actually go about your container that has maybe 20 or 30 seedlings? Because remember, each shooty uppy is its own plant. So how do we go from our punnet of 20 or 30 into separating them out into each having their own container?
Mm. It's actually a really good question because the root system in this punnet is going to be out of control because you've got a tiny punnet and you've got 20 or 30 shooty uppies, each with their own roots. It's going to be a bit of a mess. So you've got to be really careful with each of them. So what I would do is chuff on down, get your punnet, get it home, take the punnet off and then sit the kind of root ball of seedlings. Like it's kind of going to be its own root mat with all them attached. Sit that in a bucket of water for 10 minutes. What that's going to do is really loosen the soil and actually wash a bit of the soil off, which is not a bad thing at this point because once we've done that, it'll be a lot easier to kind of tease the plants out. So when you're teasing them out, you are going to break some roots. That's inevitable. But what you really want to try and do is untangle them and loosen them out rather than ripping them apart. When you're dealing with older seedlings, you can kind of rip or cut them quite easily because they've got a lot of roots. But with these little shooty uppies, they might only have one or two roots each. And if you rip that root, you've killed it. So we're going to really carefully tease them out. Then we're going to have all our older pots, our recycled pots, all different sizes, right? You can do smaller ones, you can do bigger ones. It just depends on how big you want that plant to get. You're going to fill them with a potting mix. Doesn't have to be a seed raising mix, just any potting mix is going to do at this point. And then you're going to individually put each of your little tomato things in, just watching those roots. Then you're going to give them a good water, like we do whenever we plant a plant. And then you're going to put them somewhere sheltered. A windowsill, your mini greenhouse, your bigger greenhouse, whatever it is. But I think the key point is just to be very careful with the separating process.
Okay, so do take your time with that and gently tease them.
Exactly. Or if you can't, sometimes they will just be so intertwined with each other that if you pull them apart, you are going to kill one. In that situation, put both in the pot and then just see who's performing better and then chop the other one later.
Yeah, great, because you might have 20 seedlings and you might not need 20 tomato bushes. So.
Exactly. Well, yeah, definitely not. So again, we've got that flexibility to just be a bit rougher with it, and the better performing plant will be the one that we plant. I mean, hell, also the other thing is, like, we always say that some seeds are better than others, but we don't know when they're young. Plant them all up and then just pick the four best that are performing and get those in the garden and then gift the other shitter ones.
So the big question is, the juice worth the squeeze? This is where we look at the effort reward ratio of today's topic. The categories are superstar, high effort, high reward. Completing this will make you feel like an absolute rock star. Best on ground, low effort, high reward. Quick wins and fill-ins, low effort, low reward. And finally, the wooden spoon, high effort, but not much reward.
Tess, tell me, what do you think of my little happy medium seed seedling situation?
So as I understand it, this is a really great hack for someone who has had trouble in the past with, or frankly can't be bothered with, the germination process. So that's your problem that we're solving here, is germination is an issue, so we need to find a solution. An expensive solution is to buy plants when they're bigger. A cheaper solution is to this one, where you buy plants smaller and then you separate them out so they can continue to contain and grow till they get a little bit bigger. Before you put them in the ground.
Perfection.
I feel like it becomes more valuable on the squeezy juice matrix the bigger your garden is.
Yes.
Because if you're using tomatoes, for example, I don't have room for 20 tomatoes. Who does? Maybe I have room for a couple of tomatoes. And if the difference for me is getting 20 seedlings for $4, or getting three larger punnets for $4 each. I mean, it's triple the cost, but, you know, maybe you're like, that's all right in a small garden. I don't know. It's entirely dependent on how much money you want to put into this hobby of yours.
The second you've said this, I've thought tomatoes was the worst example because you're totally right. Like if you're only going to buy one tomato, like if you're only going to plant one tomato, like a lot of people will, then $4 for 20 or $4 for one is of no value to you. But perhaps something like beans
or
lettuces where you plant heaps of them, multiples, maybe that is where the economic argument can be more seen even for someone with a smaller garden like you.
Yes. And so I think it depends on a few things. Like you might need to get your seedlings for your lettuce because you haven't got them in early enough. Or, I mean, that's probably a bad example as well. But like there might be a whole bunch of different reasons why this solution would be a great solution for you. Having teased out larger plants from a container, I don't want anyone to underestimate that that is a crap job.
I mean, it doesn't take long though.
No, but it was when I was doing it, they're so finicky and they're also like rooted in together that it's just don't think it's a like that's not a speedy thing. So it is. It sounds like you're putting in work,
yeah,
but you're saving money,
yeah.
So those are the two factors that you've got to weigh up.
I mean, look, if money is not a factor in your gardening, like yeah, stuff this and just buy the plants at the size you want to plant them. Like definitely.
Well, either way, you're going to be saving money off of your grocery bill at the end of the day. So.
Yeah, totally, totally. But you're right. For a garden my size, it's got some serious wins. A garden your size, maybe not so much. Here's the other thing. In spring, given that I have so much trouble with heat trying to germinate seeds, and probably a lot of people do, getting someone else who's going to manage the temperature is very valuable. When I'm growing seeds in summer or autumn, I'm not as interested in this because I find them a lot easier to germinate in warm weather. So, again, this might be something that is going to rate higher on the squeezy juice in spring and is going to drop right off in summer. But, look, I hope that for someone this
And I think it's important when we present it, when we talk about it all the time, we present it as two options, either seed or seedling, but there are other options.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think that's the point that is really important here is just because you bought a seedling doesn't mean it has to go straight in the ground.
Yes.
There's a myriad of ways that we can do this. And the same if you grow from seed. Here's another thing. I don't know if we've ever said it in this kind of explicitly. If you grow from seed, you might end up with your own punnet of 20.
Yeah.
In this tiny punnet. And you're thinking, if I start planting these out right now, it's too early, it's too cold, these are too small, whatever it is. You then, and I often will repot my own container grown seedlings.
And keep them in the greenhouse for a bit longer.
Get them stronger. And bigger. So it's got a whole lot of applications, but.
And I think having that extra time for a seedling, and I think particularly with a tomato, for example, that you want it to be a big, strong plant so it can produce heaps of fruit, spending a little bit of more time in the container in the controlled environment when it's the beginning of spring, it might be a little bit cold still. I feel like that's important without. I mean, that just feels like a gut instinct that is important to me.
Oh, it is. It really is. And also when we talked about zucchinis last week, if we can get them bigger inside or in a greenhouse where they're safe from the slugs and snails, there's a lot less risk of them succumbing to damage when they're planted out. So this is another way to insulate against that is just to keep them in, you know, keep them in the nursery as long as you can.
Yeah. Rooting For You is hosted by Elise and Tess. You can find us on Instagram @rootingforyoupod or email rootingforyou@elisealexandra.com.